Here we are at Aviation Gateway Park, and it is a beautiful day. And Dave Chamson and I, Dave with EAA staff, VP with all kinds of innovation things going on. And you're basically our resident expert on all this stuff since you integrate with them all year round.
It's kind of a bold word, but I'll take it. Thank you. Thank you. And happy, you know what, we're celebrating this week. Our 50th consecutive year in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Yes, and it is a wonderful celebration. There's a lot of really cool things going on around the grounds to celebrate that as well.
There are. As a matter of fact, we welcomed all Oshkosh residents for free to the grounds on Monday as our way of sort of saying thank you to the community. We had nearly 10,000 people taking advantage of that, Oshkosh residents, and a lot to see as usual here on the ground and in the air.
And one of those things happens to be here at Urban Air Mobility Showcase in Aviation Gateway Park. And you have, how many vendors do you have in there this year?
We've got about a dozen in there. So we're looking at what I consider the next wave of experimental aviation is really where urban air mobility is going, where things like Opener's Black Fly from a personal aerial vehicle perspective, which is a home-built aircraft. So there's a lot going on from the personal standpoint and from the commercial standpoint and from the urban standpoint. So I think what we want to do is make sure that we're always looking forward here at EA and looking at what aviation is going to look like in 10 and 15 years from now. And we all know certainly Airbus from their commercial airlines or commercial airliners, and I think that's certainly what you're most known for. But you have a division called A-Cubed, which I guess would be your incubator or accelerator within Airbus, and you have this aircraft called Vahana. Tell us a little bit more about A-Cubed and about Vahana itself, which is here on display in your stand.
Yep. So Vahana is a single-seater electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicle, so one of these, you know, electric vehicles tailored for urban operations. The project was started in February 2016 at A-Cubed, and then we did our first flight a couple of years later, end of January 2018, and now we are routinely flight testing in Oregon. We've done, I think, about 88 flight tests as of now. We also fly a subscale model for development purposes that we've flown well over 1,000 times. And we've reached speeds of about 100 miles per hour on our full-scale vehicle. So we've demonstrated basically going from vertical flight to horizontal cruise flight. And so about a year ago, in June 2018, Airbus created a new unit called Airbus Urban Mobility, and the project, the Vahana, now transferred to that Urban Mobility division, along with two other very interesting projects that were started at A-Cubed. One became Voom, which is, you know, that on-demand helicopter service that operates in Mexico City and in São Paulo. And the other project is Altiscope, that now has become Airbus UTM. So it looks at unmanned traffic management solutions. So we believe that, you know, thanks to A-Cubed, like all these three projects that have now graduated into urban mobility units really have enabled something new.
Okay. And what's Vahana's ultimate purpose? It being a single-seater doesn't have much practical use if there's such a thing as traditional sense of UAM, but in terms of what we're hearing, you know, from Uber Elevate, who is just here, which are basically five-seat crafts, four passengers and a pilot. So where's Vahana headed in terms of how it integrates into that?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. So Vahana is actually a technology demonstrator. It's not really a prototype. So the vehicle that Airbus will eventually certify and manufacture will not look like Vahana. We also have another demonstrator project with Airbus, which is called CT Airbus, which is a multi-copter configuration, a four-seater. And they did their first tethered flight in May this year. And so the idea is looking at really different solutions, learning from there, you know, because that's what you do with demonstrators. To me, the number of seats is really a question that is at the convergence of, you know, business and engineering. You know, the business side of it is, you know, pooling and, you know, how much load factor can guarantee. The bigger the vehicle, the more difficult it will be to fill. But at the same time, the economics get better as the vehicle grows. I mean, as you have more seats to share the fare on the vehicle, but up to a certain limit, right? Because the technology doesn't scale to infinity. And, you know, we think that, you know, somewhere between two and four passengers sounds like, from an engineering perspective, a reasonable spot.
Any questions for you, Jeff?
Yeah, it's all new world for me. This, I flew an Airbus for 10 years, but this whole new concept stuff is really, it kind of blows your mind because it's really, it seems out there, but it seems like it's maybe coming tomorrow. It's coming sooner than we all think, right?
I think it's coming sooner than we all think. So I don't want to speculate on a date because, you know, as not, like no one knows. There's
Everybody is. Go ahead.
Regulator acceptance, social acceptance is going to be an important thing. You know, we're going to add vehicles in an urban environment. We have to make sure that, you know, the public embraces that new technology, right? And we don't want to rush things. So this is very important. So it's, you know, it's difficult to put a date on things like, you know, regulatory and public acceptance. What I see, though, is a very motivated ecosystem, very motivated regulator as well. And based on what we see here at the show and the questions, you know, people ask about Vahana, you know, we also see interest from the public in this project. So you know, it's still going to take some years. I don't know how many, but you know, we're very motivated to make this happen. And you know, the way I see Airbus, and you mentioned EAA, you know, 50 years in Oshkosh, and we also celebrated 50 years of Airbus very recently, so that's great. You know, we're the same age, and during these 50 years, basically, intercontinental flight, or you know, became more and more affordable for people, right? So obviously, not everybody can fly yet, but you know, we're working on that, making it more sustainable, more affordable, more accessible, and now we're basically, you know, trying to take the convenience, the speed, the safety, and the joy of flight to, you know, shorter commutes, shorter distances.
So you had mentioned something about acceptance, and it's a question that I asked in a roundtable just the other day, and I'll ask you this as well. Most cities have trouble getting consumers to adopt mass transit, reliable buses, reliable subways, and so forth. So now we're going to introduce urban air mobility in sort of a micro transit model. What makes you and other manufacturers convinced that there will be this societal shift away from mass transit to micro transit, which are electronic vertical takeoff and landing on top of rooftops? If people aren't using mass transit as it is now, why are they going to jump to something like this?
So comparing it with mass transit is delicate because I don't think the throughput of urban aviation will ever match, you know, the throughput of like a metro system. Really, it's a solution that's here to offer an alternative and to augment ground transportation. So I think what is our value proposal is, you know, convenience, safety, and speed, and really, you know, trying to get people where they want to be as fast as possible, and you know, basically without having to deal with the uncertainty of, you know, is there going to be a traffic jam? Is there going to be an accident on the road slowing things down? So it's really going to be about speed and consistency, and that's what we're trying to put together. And it's a lot of work. It's not trivial. You know, we already see it with, you know, aviation in general. You know, weather is something that can, you know, throw your schedule out, many other things. And, you know, these are complex vehicles. So, you know, making sure they're always ready and well-maintained and that they have a high level of availability will be also a challenge. But we think that's all possible, and we really think that there's a not only a market, but also a societal benefit out there.
So U.S. regulators have sort of promised an accelerated timeline, or at least a cooperative timeline. And we've heard a lot of comments from Acting Administrator Elwell, and we had Earl Lawrence here just the other day as well, talking about their desire to keep pace here in the United States. Do you see any differences in the way the United States is going to be approaching urban air mobility in this environment versus perhaps the European environment or even the Australian environment? Do you think one is going to take pace a little quicker than another?
So I think it's difficult to say, but I think, you know, what is important is to try and have authorities that work together. You know, they've worked together in the past, you know, on several occasions, and you know, trying to align things as much as possible, because we have to make sure that there exists a design space that satisfies both sides of the regulations, both the European and the American side, to make sure that, you know, we can have global products, because global products means more affordable products, often also means, you know, better design products, and, you know, because we're all about accessibility, we want that product to be affordable. So having, you know, if we had to design two different products or do, you know, some heavy modifications to tailor it to one market or the other, you know, that would be a bit of a drawback, I think, for the general public as well. So,
interesting stuff. It's just crazy. It's mind-boggling. I'm thinking that Airbus is a huge company, and I'm thinking somebody had to sell this concept to Airbus. That had to be a big task. Because money, we're talking about money. They need money to make this happen. And, you know, you sit on boards, you know, someone has to sell you this concept. And they're investing a lot in this.
Yeah, I'm assuming this is a key priority at Airbus in terms of where things are headed.
Yeah, I mean, so electrification is an important topic because this is what will make aviation sustainable and environmentally, you know, friendly. And, you know, we have to start on smaller products. You know, like any technology, we have to scale it. And today, you know, it's not mature for, you know, an A380 to fly electric. Obviously, right, that's going to take decades, you know, and maybe it's not ever going to be possible. Who knows? But I think, you know, regional jets are a possible midterm solution or you know, target for electrification. And I think that would have, like, you know, great benefits for you know, the environment and the public.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. It's been a fascinating topic.
Very informative, yeah.
My appreciate pleasure, it. And it's my first time at IAA, I must say. And I'm originally from France, and, you know, it's pretty amazing to be here. Like, the energy is just mind-blowing.
Well, welcome it's to great, Oshkosh. Like.
Thank you.
J-Mod G, we are on the fly at Aviation Gateway Park. We'll return, and we're going to do a whole half hour on innovations in just a moment. You're listening to EA Radio.